Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to C&A's third quarter of 2020 results conference call. With us here today, we have the company's executive officers. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After C&A's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and at that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is also being broadcast live via webcast and may be accessed through CNA's website at ri.cna.com.br, where the presentation is also available. Participants may view the slides in any order they wish. The replay will be available shortly after the event is completed. We would like to inform you that this teleconference is being simultaneously translated into English to help our foreign investors. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements made during this conference are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CNA's management and on information currently available to the company. These forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic conditions, the industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I will turn the conference over to Mr. Paulo Correa, CEO. Mr. Correa, you may start your presentation. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in the third quarter 2020 results conference call. The third quarter was a quarter with very distinct months. It was actually a symbolic recovery after this crisis. Over the course of the quarter, we went back to operating with 100% of our stores open, and the restrictions on operating hours and shopping hours became less and less relevant. And in the end of the quarter, in September, we were already operating at 75% of the pre-pandemic hours. And today, just as a reference, we are at 95% of the hours compared with the pre-pandemic levels. As you can see on slide number 2, the total sales demonstrate this evolution throughout the months. In July, we still had a performance 31% lower than last year's. But in September, the last month of the quarter, we were able to reverse the situation and we were growing at 3.7% over last year. Since then, we have been seeing consecutive weeks of growth, which points to a return to normality in terms of growth of our business. Regarding our offline performance in our brick-and-mortar stores, there was an improvement over the months. In the start of the third quarter, customers would go to the store for very quick visits, straightforward with previously defined items such as comfort and loungewear. In this setting, the sales were resulting from a smaller flow than last year's, but with a higher conversion rate. As the isolation measures were lifted, the flow of people in shopping malls and on the streets gradually increased. And we are still seeing this gradual increase in the flow. It is not yet back to normal levels, but we see this gradual evolution of the number of people in malls and on the streets. And customers went back to looking for other items, non-loungewear items. And the highlights here are dresses and sportswear. We also started to gradually reopen our fitting rooms to resume the levels of service from before the pandemic, always in compliance with city regulations. So along the way, we're seeing this gradual return to the normal operation of retail stores. And I have no doubts that the great highlight were online sales, because even after we reopened our stores, our online sales accelerated to a 444% growth in the quarter without losing the traction that we saw in quarter two. This level of growth reinforces our understanding that part of this migration seen in quarter two at the height of the pandemic is actually structural. Our customers are becoming digital, and now that they have tried the convenience of buying online, they're getting used to using this channel, and this will become more and more frequent in all dimensions, either on our website or using our app. And this will make the customer journey more and more integrated, both physically and digitally. So this quarter showed this marked recovery. And even with this period of higher promotions that started in the end of quarter two, and also with the end of the season, end of the winter season, particularly in July and part of August, we navigated this period really well with a small impact on our margins, as you're going to hear from Milton shortly. With this increasing digitalization of our customers and the resilience of our omni-channel initiatives, we are consolidating and accelerating the advancement of our growth plan levers to generate value for the company. After reviewing our plan, considering the current scenario, we decided to maintain the same five levers. However, we are prioritizing resources, particularly to the levers of supply and digital transformation. Therefore, we will continue our accelerated growth trajectory with the investments that were already resumed during this quarter, and knowing that we will shortly recover, be able to recover the levels of growth that we had before the pandemic, and we started to see the results in this quarter. On slide number three, we see the advancements in each of our levers. First, in new stores, during the third quarter, we inaugurated only one new store in São Luís in Maranhão, and with the reopening of shopping malls, we restarted our works. As we had said before, we will not deliver the original plan of 22 new stores this year. We will be able to open 10 new stores because of all the months that we had to stay closed and works had to be stopped. But year to date, we have opened four new stores and we have six more planned for quarter four. This is just to give you an idea of the dynamics and the speed in which we are resuming the works. Of the six stores, three have been inaugurated. And in the next years, we will go back to the original plan of opening 25 to 30 stores per year. Now, regarding the revamping of our store's CVP concept, in quarter three, we completed 18 revamps that had been started before the pandemic in these stores that reopened. And one important element is that the review of our growth plan brought back a discussion about the format of our stores, which means that we are now debating segmentations and formats according to the vocation of the stores, depending on their location, size, availability of assortment. And stores now will need to, not just on the on the sales floor, but also in the back office, these stores will have to be adjusted to the new volumes of omni-channel business that we are seeing. For example, the ship from store modality, click and collect, and the infinite aisle. And that is the reason why we have suspended our revamps temporarily until we have finalized this new plan. In supply chain, we had some relevant evolutions. It's noteworthy that the final design for C&A's supply chain is ambitious and the delivery of this project is lengthy and complex. But since the IPO, we are preparing the company for this transformation. And we have created a clear roadmap with a very experienced team and a very robust ecosystem of partners. This lever is divided into three great pillars. The first is our distribution network. And here, it's worth noting that the optimization of our logistics system in terms of structure, processes, and transport have been bringing results in terms of reducing our lead time and reducing our costs. Also, we are capturing greater efficiency in our import and receipt operations in Santa Catarina. In respect to distribution, we are continuously increasing the productivity of the sorter that we have installed. And now, additionally to the denim category, it also serves other products, for example, knits, contributing to the increase in sales and stock efficiency for these two categories. The entry into operation of the second sorter is planned for the first half of 2021, which will further increase this positive impact. In the omnichannel operation pillar, one aspect that gained a lot of relevance with the growth of e-commerce was the last mile. So we implemented a new transport mesh for our stores, aiming to improve delivery times and reduce costs. We had already identified our high exposure to the National Post Office Service as our logistic agent. And with the strike they had in mid-August, we anticipated our project to implement this new mesh, and we are working in its stabilization. We have also started the project of the hub stores to operate our ship from store modality. So after identifying the stores with a vocation to become regional hubs, we started in Q3 the operation of three of these hubs, aiming to improve our operational efficiency and our shipping capacity. And finally, in the technology pillar, we are accelerating the technological modernization of our supply chain. We expanded the adoption of RFID for the entire mindset category, and also in some pilot stores for all apparel that allowed us to achieve benchmark stock divergence levels in this scope and to increase our omnichannel sales due to our capacity to sell until the last item. The results are very encouraging, and we will continue to expand these efforts to other stores. We are also accelerating the adoption of machine learning throughout our distribution system, covering virtually 70% of our sales with this new tool. And finally, we also defined the replacement of our legacy WMS system with a leading system which will support the future architecture that we're building for C&A Digital. In the digital transformation lever, we continue to work hard. As I showed you, we accelerated our online growth with a 444% in our net revenue, accounting for 16.6% of our sales. And if we look at our GMV, including our marketplace sales, we reached 214 million, which is more than five times higher than in 2019. We continue to solidly work on our app strategy. Our app is our main online channel, and it continues to grow. We are now past 3 million monthly active users. The Galeria C&A, our marketplace, is continuing to expand, and currently we have more than 150 partners complementing the assortment offered to our customers. And the utilization is at 95%, which means that 95% of these sellers have active SKUs and are selling on our platform. We are focusing on key categories like strengthening apparel and shoes. And additionally, we are structuring the basis of our Galleria to support the exponential growth that we expect for the future. We are hiring market tools to automate our processes. We are expanding our team with very experienced professionals and investing in technologies to enhance customer experience from browsing to post to after sales. The omni-channel initiatives like ship from store and click and collect are already operating in all of our stores. And the infinite aisle, which although is still being developed with limited resources, has been showing some interesting results and has reached two-digit levels in terms of omni-channels in quarter three. In addition to all these initiatives that I mentioned, we are also working on new channels, namely, we have our WhatsApp sales channel, which is now a concrete alternative to our customers and is now present in more than 260 stores of the group. In this quarter, we also started a pilot for the Minha C&A initiative, or My C&A. In this project, we have a network of digital consultants, and these digital consultants have their stores optimized on our website and on our app. In respect to points of sales, we have launched a pilot project for a vending machine in high circulation sites for the basic wear line and also kiosks or mini stores at subway stations in the city of São Paulo. Our C&A Você relationship program continues to grow, and today we have more than 12 million customers enrolled. The adoption of these new tools allowed us to increasingly personalize our interaction with our customers. And speaking about customers, we had an increase in the number of new customers of 223% compared with quarter 3/19. And in our customer base, more than 45% of our customers is already multi-channel. Also, we continue to adopt a new way of working following methodologies that aim to solve problems and are based on dedicated multifunctional teams. Currently, we have 5 corporate squads addressing our business to accelerate the solving of problems identified in the customer journey. In this quarter, we also finished the celebrated the completion of the Open Innovation Program in partnership with Endeavor, in which we built joint solutions with 7 scale-ups for several months, and many of them will continue to work with us after we incorporated these personalized solutions that we can use in our company. And finally, in credit availability, we will continue with our action plan, optimizing contact with our C&A card customers in our online channels, providing them with further information and targeted offers. On the next chart, slide number 4, we show some of the activities that we have been performing to ensure the relevance of C&A in our customer journey. The focus here is to offer assortment, to provide them with choices. As I always say, C&A wants to be a platform for people to express themselves through fashion. And we want this assortment to truly support the different choices and the different personalities and profiles of our customers here in Brazil. And we want to develop products to provide them with novelty. Our omni assortment today is complete and is being increasingly reinforced with a consistent inclusion of sellers in Galleria C&A, following criteria focusing on their operations and how much they can add to our customer journey. As we said before, we have restructured our way of working, particularly in the women's department, to incorporate definitively capsule collections. In quarter three, once again, we saw several launches of these collections with products with a much shorter lead time and a much higher turn. And I would like to highlight two of these collections. The first one was an unprecedented initiative where we had a collection co-created with CIA and Você's customers. So a select group of customers participated in the development of this collection with our team of stylists for a few months, creating a collection that's called My Way of Huawei. It was a very successful initiative, so we repeated this partnership for another collection now in November, the Flourishing collection. And this second collection, for which we launched the concept of streaming with renowned actresses presenting the items in a very casual and fun way, this campaign was called Tudo Combinado. And we took one more step towards fashion with positive impact. And we have two relevant stories in terms of sustainability. The first one was the launch of a denim collection that reduced in more than 65% the use of water in the washing process. Using a state-of-the-art software from a Spanish company, which is a reference for more efficient processes to produce denim items. And the second initiative, after more than 1.5 years developing this project with two companies in our vendor network, we are now the first company in the Americas to develop its national chain for local production of fashion items with the cradle-to-cradle C2C gold level certification. This line of products, which was called Ciclos, materializes the concept of circular fashion, which conceives products considering the next cycles of use. So these products are produced with safe materials and in a socially responsible fashion, promoting the use of renewable energy. So in sum, I would say that this quarter really meant a recovery of our sales and acceleration of all our levers in supply and in the omni-channel initiatives. And this means that now we have additional energy in our quest to offer a greater assortment to our customers with a lot of innovation in the way we work and in the content of our collections. Now I would like to hand over to Milton, and he's going to present the specific results of this quarter. Thank you, Paulo. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here once again, announcing the results for quarter three. Your last words, Paulo, actually reminded me of our positioning that we are always prudently optimistic. So it was a great reflection, what you said. So let's start by talking about our net revenue. On slide number five, if you look at quarter three, the revenue was 14% lower than last year's. Now, by line of business, we see that Fashiontronics showed an increase of 8.2% over last year, whereas apparel is recovering, but it was still 15.8% lower than last year. The recovery in apparel, as Paulo said, we are seeing this week after week, which makes us, as I said, prudently optimistic. Other businesses, which include particularly financial services, showed a greater decrease of 67.3%. In the first 9 months of this year, the total net revenue of C&A is 34% lower. On slide number six, we show our gross profit and margin. Paulo had mentioned that we would go into details about the gross profit. The total gross profit was $445 million in the quarter, a 22.6% decrease compared with quarter 319. And among the different categories, Only Fashiontronics showed an increase of 10.8%. And year to date, the decrease in our total gross profit was 37%. As we can see in this quarter, the gross margin for goods was 43.2%, which is higher than the total gross margin, and this is due to the significant drop in financial services. The decrease in our margin for goods, a decrease of 2.4 percentage points due to the greater share of Fashiontronics in our mix, although more normalized than in quarter two 20, and due to the decrease seen in our gross margin for apparel due to the more promotional environment that we had in the start of the quarter, because we must remember that July was very strong in terms of promotions. And then sales started to gradually increase. Considering the first 9 months of the year, we are very happy with the performance that we are presenting. We have a decrease in our gross margin for goods of only 1.7 percentage point. And in apparel, it was only 0.8 percentage point. This result is a consequence of the way we are managing our stocks and how we've been able to maintain the launch of new collections with very up-to-date products, very relevant, and at their full price. Our stock position and the way we're managing our days of stock allows us to have greater agility and greater health throughout the course of this recovery. And this is what we are seeing in these last 3 months. Now, moving on to pro forma operational expenses, they added up to 515.6 million, which is 5% lower than in quarter 3/19. The pro forma sales expenses were 429.3 million, a 1.6% reduction or 6.8 million reals. We continue our efforts to maintain our discounts in rents and payroll in track with our sales performance. Efficiency has been a strong characteristic of CNA throughout this recovery, and we're doing this prudently without missing any opportunity to grow, but always looking very diligently at our expenses. The negotiation with store lessors and the suspension of labor agreements in this period resulted in savings of 63.3 million in the quarter, which means that we are reaping the benefits of what we did throughout the crisis. However, these 63.3 million, 53.3 million of these were consumed by two factors. One, by the increase in sales and the consequent impact on our variable expenses, like freight or freight for our e-commerce platform, and also the participation of Shiprom stores. So this leads us to a higher exposure in terms of expenses. And here we also had the National Post Service as our logistic operator. And now after the initiative that was described by Paulo, we now have a new system and we're going to work more efficiently looking forward. And the second point was the higher expenses in digital marketing, particularly due to the increase in our cost per visit, due to a greater competitiveness and greater investments in app installs and leads. Because as Paulo said, we have this strategy that we call app first, and this requires greater investments and also investments in our leads in quarter three. So we looked at our expenses in a very responsible way and also our investments. The general and administrative pro forma expenses were 5.9% higher, adding up to 116.2 million, which is totally in line with the design strategy. In other expenses and operational revenues pro forma, it was positive in 29.9 million, mainly due to the recovery of tax credits related to the lawsuit that we won to recover tax credits from PIS/COFINS on imports. So this is reflected here. On the next page, on slide number 8, we show our pro forma adjusted EBITDA, which in quarter 3 was a negative 25.8 million. And the pro forma adjusted EBITDA margin was also negative in 2.4%, or a decrease of 11.8 percentage points. Year to date, the adjusted EBITDA was a negative 222.4 million, with an adjusted EBITDA margin, pro forma, negative by 9.5%. On the next chart, slide number 9, we see that CNA had a pro forma net loss of 19.9 million in quarter 3, a variation of 33.8 million compared to last year, quarter 3 19's profit. The pro forma net margin was a negative 1.9%, or a drop of 3 percentage points. And the pro forma net loss, excluding the non-recurring effect of the tax credits related with the lawsuit that we won for the PIS/COFINS on imports, would have been 68.3 million, a variation of 82.2 million. In the first 9 months, the pro forma net loss was 247.4 million, with a pro forma net margin of a negative 10.6%. Now moving on to slide number 10, here we see our investments. The investment in quarter 3 was 44.4 million, a 41.5% decrease compared to quarter 3 19. And this is clearly a consequence of all the measures that we took reacting to this period of recession. The investment related with new stores is now being resumed with the resumption of our expansion plan. In the quarter, we opened one new store and we restarted the works in other stores that should be inaugurated by the end of this year. We're planning for 6, and 3 of them have already been inaugurated. The revamps that had been started before the closing of our stores in the start of the pandemic are now resumed, and we delivered 18 revamps in quarter 3 2020. And right now, we are revisiting the concept and segmentation of our stores. Therefore, we will suspend revamps until this project is completed. And this project will integrate all the aspects that we had in our CVP and that we presented to you, and now taking into account the needs related with the omnichannel presence of the company. So in a very responsible way, we are suspending our revamps to come out strongly and even better after we come to the right conclusions. Distribution centers are now receiving investments again, and this should intensify in the next quarters with the evolution of our supply chain modernization plan. And finally, on slide 11, I show you the evolution of our cash position. The cash balance in quarter 3 was 1,321 million, which represents a generation of 114.6 million in operational and a consumption of 51.9% for investments. We have a very solid cash position, and this reflects the decisions that we made in terms of the soundness and liquidity of the company. So the outlook after the recovery seen this quarter is very positive. However, we are still cautiously working on our planning because we know that there are external factors that are impacting part of this growth. We will continue to focus on product development and assortment availability to be able to maintain our relevance to our customers. It's what Paulo said. We're looking at our assortment. We're investing in our assortment. Even through these very hard times, we have always paid attention to that very diligently and responsibly. Our stock management continues to be very sound and firm. stores and logistics. We are also looking at that to improve the efficiency of our processes. And also we are enhancing our omnichannel initiatives to ensure our growth. And last but not least, to improve the level of service to our customers. This is the end of my presentation, and now we will open for questions. Thank you. The floor is now open for questions only for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star one. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We kindly ask you that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. If any questions are not selected now, they will be answered by the company's IR team after the conference is over. The first question in English is from Andrew Rupert, Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thanks very much for taking the question. My question is regarding the stores. So you talked about returning to store openings and now a plan for 2021. I'm curious what visibility you have into your opening pipeline and what you've seen in the business that gives you confidence in restarting this growth opportunity. Thank you.
Andrew, thank you for your question. Yes, it's the same thesis that we had when we had our IPO. In the past few years, C&A had a much lower level of new stores open, but we have been mapping. We have mapped more than 100 points of sales, which are already operating and where we could open a new store very successfully. And based on this mapping, we are resuming this work. And the stores that we just inaugurated, we are looking at the contribution that they could make to the company since day one. So we're very confident in resuming this journey of growth and capturing all this potential that we have in our hands. The next question is from Gabriel Giuseppe Santander. Good morning. Thank you for answering my question. I would like to understand what is your view or your cross-reading for the sector. Looking at apparel and comparing with your competitors, maybe you had one of the better same-store sales and the margin decrease was relatively smaller than that of your competitors. So I would like to understand how you were able to do that in this quarter, because I think those are good results. Gabriel, thank you for your question. I think there are some elements that are relevant here. The first is related with a different side of the story, which is something that we have had for a long time, which is a very strict, stringent stock management. We have right methodologies. We have a lot of discipline and very strong governance on our stocks. And we see very clearly where the opportunities are. So when the pandemic came, we had many discussions to make sure that we were making things very clear to our suppliers that they should not produce more considering the level of uncertainty that we were going through. That was step number zero of this journey. Now, step number one of this equation has to do with the way we manage our stocks. Our stock volume compared with the rest of the market in terms of days of stock is traditionally lower, and it has been for a long time now. And we maintained this strategy. And of course, this gives us much more flexibility because we are more surgically solving problems for specific items or for specific categories that are having difficulty in terms of turns. And this also gives us the condition to launch new items. And then there's a step number three of this equation, which is something that we also have been doing for a while now. It was not just for the pandemic, but the format of the development of our collections and then integration of with our vendor base allows us to launch novelties much faster than our competitors. And during this crisis, we certainly, well, the number of new items and novelties that we brought to our customers really stood out in the market. For example, we were the first to launch the tie-dye sweats in April. And so we were able to quickly respond to this increased demand for sweats and loungewear, comfort wear. And this is due to the new format of our collection development. We also have the Mindset collection, which brings in its DNA, this high agility and speed. So I think these are the three main factors which allowed us to have better stock management, very stringently, like we have always done. And with this agility and novelty to ensure that what we are delivering to our customers in our stores continues to be relevant, which leads to a lower need for markdowns, discounts compared with our competitors. Thank you for your answer. Thank you. The next question is from Daniela Igor, XP Investments. Good morning. Thank you for answering my question. I have two questions, actually. The first is, can you tell us a little bit more about the evolution of your sales since the end of quarter three and during the start of quarter four? And I also want to know, what is your perspective on digital and particularly the marketplace, which has been a positive surprise and seems to have a lot of potential looking forward? So how do you see the potential of value creation from your marketplace? And my second question is about financial services. What are you seeing in quarter four? Are you seeing any recovery? And what can we expect from your financial services in the future? Well, as for your first question, Daniela, the evolution of our sales, as I said, we are seeing this gradual, not so aggressive, a gradual evolution of the flow of people in our stores week after week. So you if you look at the numbers from September, this reflects this growth. And since then, we are taking further steps in this journey. Week after week, as I said, we are able to maintain this growth dynamics. And the outlook for quarter four is positive. We will clearly see some recovery in our growth journey. I think the worst is behind us now. And we are not expecting, or we hope we don't see any more stringent measures from the government. But looking at the current situation, the outlook is very positive for the last quarter. And in respect to our marketplace, we are advancing at a fast pace. We had 5 sellers in the end of quarter two, or in the middle of quarter two, and now we have 150 partners, and this number is growing. And most importantly, even more important than the number of sellers and the level of sales, at least initially, is that we are working hard in establishing the foundations and the lessons learned. It is a new story for us, so we have a qualified team of experts to help us in this journey. We are building as we go, we're learning, and we are developing the infrastructure and the fundamentals that will allow us to really ensure a very fast and solid growth in this modality next year. So we're seeing a very interesting dynamics in our marketplace. And what we envision for 2021 is a very strong growth lever for us. And about your second question about financial services, considering our joint venture, what we saw also at the height of the pandemic, we saw the lowest level of approval rates that we had in many years. But as we start to see some recovery, there are three very clear behaviors. The first is a mild recovery in the approval rate. So we are starting to see, we're starting to feel a slow recovery in the approval rates. Also, we did a joint revision of our customer base and the possibilities to take some measures to increase customers' limits by the end of the year. So we gathered a group of customers for whom we will be able to increase the credit limits. And the third element is that the level of default is nearly back to normal. And this reinforces everything that we said until now, that we are seeing this gradual recovery, however, very consistent, going back to normal business. Thank you. Next question is from Eric Huang. Good morning. My question is about financial services. We want to see what are the opportunities that you see, perhaps something related with digital wallets, cashback, within your online platform. Are you looking to these opportunities, or are you focusing mostly on your partnership with Bradesco? Eric, thank you for the question. Today, we have a contract for this partnership with Bradesco, and under this contract, we have to build new solutions, and we have to increase the viability of our products. So regarding your question about new formats and products and services within the financial sphere, we are totally aware and we are looking for opportunities. We are conducting in-depth analysis of these opportunities and trying to build the foundations to make these products and services viable as in the shortest term possible for our customers. The next question is from João Fuari. Good morning, Paulo, Milton. My first question is about the new format and comparing with what you talked about in the IPO. What has changed? We are seeing some larger stores being inaugurated, 2,000 square meters, and we were thinking about smaller formats, maybe 800 square meters. So what does this mean, that you're looking for a larger shipping area or you're looking for a larger area for other new categories such as cosmetics? So why are these new stores larger than expected? And the second question, you made it very clear about your gross margin, but looking forward, the industry as a whole is suffering from scarcity of raw materials that are supply problems. How can this impact your margin in the future? Thank you. Hello, João. Thank you for the question. Regarding the format of our stores and this revision that we made of our plan, and I think that you mentioned some of these elements. For example, the beauty category is now part of the new store. So we are inaugurating stores with the beauty department. So yes, that is the space for new categories. But what we are also discussing is the dynamics of the customer journey. And in the new dynamics, we know that customers have searched online before going to the store. They have other references or they can search on our app. So how can you incorporate some of these elements into their journey to make their journey easier, faster, more streamlined, with less friction to our customers? This is an important part. Here we're talking about payment and we're talking about finding products in the store. and personalized discounts for those who are enrolled in the program. So these are the things that we are discussing. And the infrastructure of the store itself, in order for the store to serve as a distribution hub to our customers, either for click and collect or for the ship from store modality, this requires a mini DC inside the store. So this is the back office part of the answer to your question, something that's not visible to those visiting the store. And this part has to be adjusted also in terms of levels of stock and the way we organize our stocks. It's different from a dynamics where you have to go inside and get products to replenish a certain equipment or display versus a dynamic in which you go to your stock and you select a specific SKU for a specific order that was made online. In addition to the processing of the orders, the shipment of the order. So it's a totally different dynamic, which is now being incorporated in the design of our stores to make these modalities more productive and faster. Milton, can you answer the second part of the question? Yes, João, thank you for your question. Your reading is correct. That is indeed a higher pressure in terms of the prices of some raw materials. And this is not just for CNA, it's for the entire industry. And yes, we have to deal with this problem now. In the supply chain initiative, the fact that CNA still sees opportunities ahead. So with this impact, it's up to us to somehow decrease this impact. So our capacity to increase our sales at full price, for example, is an opportunity. We're looking for this increased capacity using technological tools and using supply strategies. We talked about RFID. We talked about increasing the scale of our sorter for other categories. This improves our accuracy inside the stores, and this gives us opportunity to increase our sales at full price. I'm not trying to say that the impact is zero, but we are diligently looking at this problem, and we are responsibly working to advance and evolve in our margins. What's happening in the past two quarters is not by hazard. We are firmly working on increasing our profitability, also looking at our gross margin. Thank you. And if you allow me, I have one last question. In respect to your investments for next year, what is the plan? I know you have different projects that are in your pipeline for supply chain and new stores. Can you talk about the CapEx plan for next year? Well, we are currently revising our levers, as Paulo mentioned, and this revision shows that we will continue to work strongly on our five levers. But what changed was the intensity of the investments. We will prioritize some of them. Some of them will get more investments than others if we compare the current plan with the initial plan. And in terms of growth in 2021, the growth next year, the investment next year will be relatively relevant. We have recovered our capacity to invest. Unfortunately, this year we had an unplanned impact of the pandemic, but this hasn't really changed, or at least not massively change what we plan to do next year. And we have the cash and we have the capacity to make these investments happen next year. I have no doubt that we will continue to intensively invest and capture the returns of these investments. Congratulations, Milton and Paulo, and thank you for your answer. The next question is from João Andrade, Bradesco. Good morning and congratulations for your results. Could you tell us more about the new channels, vending machines, consultants, WhatsApp sales, and how they are performing? Hello, João. These new channels sound like very interesting formats. Some of them already show a very relevant results, and WhatsApp is one of them. Basically, today we have more than 500 people in Brazil in different stores who are working with artificial intelligence tools to be able to arm these consultants with a portfolio of suggestions and specific contents for each of our customers. And this will certainly bring us benefits as we scale up this work. So WhatsApp is one of the channels that is advancing. We can clearly see how it evolves. And as we better structure and increasingly professionalize this story, we will certainly see strong results from these initiatives. Minha CIA, or My CNA, is at initial stages, but we have been operating for more than 1 month now with a very positive outlook. We still have some adjustments to make. And the third one that you mentioned was, the vending machines. This initiative just started. We still have many adjustments to make. I would say that it is the least mature of the three that you mentioned. And we are not just trying to implement the vending machine strategy, but it's what we call mini stores. So these mini stores in very high flow sites like subway stations, they also sound like a very interesting channel, and they're focused on some categories of products. For example, the mini store that we're inaugurating close to subway stations with a very high flow of people. And that one is focused on t-shirts. T-shirts are easy to sell. They don't require much fitting and trying on. So it's a very promising strategy. And we have more interesting stories. So we think the 2021, we will see a ramp up of these initiatives. Thank you. This concludes today's question and answer session. Now I would like to invite Mr. Paulo Correa for his closing remarks. You may proceed, Mr. Correa. I would like to thank everyone for participating. So just to recap, I think this quarter marked the return to normality and the performance of our business. We moved away from very difficult times and are going back to normality. And we believe that the future prospects of growth for the company are very in line with the initial plan on which we have been working since our IPO. So once again, thank you all for attending. And as Milton said, we reaffirm our prudent optimism regarding the future. Thank you very much. This conference call is now closed. Thank you all for attending. Have a great day.